Psalm 19. Once again, this afternoon, we can't stop halfway through the chapter. Psalm number 19, verse 8. The Bible says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you bless our time this afternoon, Lord. We've already made it a sweet time of singing and praise and prayer. And Lord, I pray that you bless now as we go into this portion of Scripture this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, direct us, exhort us, Lord, whatever's needed in each of our lives. And we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, more to be desired. This is point number 4. Can you bring this word? More to be desired than gold, he says here. We spoke already this morning about general revelation and special revelation. The special revelation began with the prophets and ultimately with the Son of God coming to the earth. But the Lord used chosen men to give us his word, especially his special revelation. He chose these prophets to sound like I couldn't walk out of your trouble. Oh, it's on, but it didn't turn on. Yeah, I need help. Okay. The sound guy takes the slow stroll out. You're like, oh, I messed up. Okay, sorry. Amen. Appreciate you, though. So, the Lord used these chosen men to give us his word, his special revelation for us to know exactly what he wanted us to receive. Listen, we're not left here to try to figure this out on our own. Right? We're not to look at the stars. We're not to look at the skies and just try to figure out, well, I bet what God really wants for me is such and such. Folks, that's not how this thing works. No, no. God has only given us the glorious display in the heavens. I'm sorry, he's not only given us that, but he's left us with his word. Amen? What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thought. That he didn't just give us the image and the idea and the understanding that he's there, which he is, but he gave us exactly what he expects, what he desires from us. So, how precious is a letter that you get from someone special? Y'all remember letters? No, I don't mean text. I don't even mean email. I mean like letters that you lick the envelope. Remember back when we used to have to lick the stamp? We don't even do that anymore. Did y'all remember that? Yeah, wrote on paper with a pen. Right? We got calluses on our fingers. Kids at our school get calluses. They write. Amen. They write. Remember those letters, though? You know, you send that letter and, you know, you put your perfume on it. You know, and you send it and some feller opens it up. And right? Any of y'all remember that? Two people. The rest of y'all are like, I'm not raising my hand. Some of y'all are like, what's the letter? So, how precious is that? You know, you get a letter like that, you don't just read it and throw it in the trash. You read it over and over and over again. And maybe it's not just from that, like, special someone. Maybe it's from a family member. How many people here have in their possession an old letter that somebody has given them? Yeah. Held on to that thing. You just got it there. You ever go back and look at it? Every now and then. Maybe the longer you get away from it, a little less, but
You know, it's there. It's special. You know, maybe you smell it. Sometimes you keep it with you, right? You carry it with you for a while. I'm talking about the longer you have it, the more you kind of. I have letters from my aunt, and I don't know why I kept them. I was a teenager, and my aunt had sent me these letters. I don't even know why I kept them. It was just. And I had these letters, and I kept them. She was telling me about the Lord. I didn't really get it. I thought she was being nice. She's my aunt. I knew she loved me. She sent me these letters. I still have these letters of her telling me about Jesus. And she's the best of my knowledge, she's the only person that knew me that was praying for me. I mean, no one else on the planet cared for my soul before the Lord but my aunt. And she passed away when I suppose I was 18 years old, and like, why did you keep them? I don't know. I still have them. And every now and then I pull it out. And, you know, that letter, you know, you clutch it. Because it's the demonstration of the sentiment and hopes and dreams and desires of someone special. Right? It's kind of a big deal. You know, you can't really place the value on it. Can I tell you, folks, you just can't really place the value on what we hold here in our hands. You can't say, yeah, no, I think it's pretty good. It's pretty important to me. If you say this is pretty important to you, you don't get it. This isn't just pretty important to me. This is, you know, I want to keep, you know, I'm not sure if I like it or not. I'm going to tell you this, what I'm about to say. I'm not sure if I like it or not. But we actually keep this with us all the time on our phones. I'm not sure if I like it, be quite honest. I like a letter written more than a text. You know what I'm saying? A text with a smiley face, a thumbs up, maybe a flower. I don't even know what these emojis mean. You know, people are like, you don't send emojis. I don't know what they mean. Smiley face. I do smiley face. I think it means, I don't know. LOL. You're like, did you really? No, you just, I don't know. It's weird. You know, why do we, I don't really know. I've never really figured out completely the whole thing. And these girls, they're like, well, you didn't respond. I'm like, it didn't recall a response. We could do a thumbs up or something. I don't know. Okay. Just, do you save a text of a thumbs up? No. You bury it. Like, whatever. So I like this book. I like it in book format. I like those thin pages. I like to touch it. But I also, when I'm at home, I look it on my Bible on the app. So I'm glad we can have it with us everywhere. You know what I mean? I'm so excited to be able to have it everywhere. It's not something we just put over here. Listen, the Word of God, His instruction, His guidance, His plan, His desire for us, His procedures, His motivations, His will, all of these things, all written down for us right here in this love letter. But it's more than a love letter. You know, we talk about this. The Bible is God's love letter to His people, right? That's like half the story, because it's also our marching orders. It's not just a love letter, but it's our instruction, our assignment, our marching orders, our PCS, right? I mean, it's like, hey, this is what's next for you. This is what it's. And you're like, okay, God, I've done what I've done. I've finished what you wanted me to do. And God said, okay, here's the next orders, right? You know, if you're in the military, you're always waiting for your orders. What are my orders? And like, did I get my orders? Because like, I'm ready to get out of this place, right? Or whatever. You're waiting for your orders, and you can't do anything without orders. Once you get orders, now I have authority to leave and to go to the next thing and so forth. So it is a love letter. Certainly, it's the love of God. It's the love of God here, but it's also our marching orders, our instruction. It gives us the plan for our life. not only for these years on earth, but it actually gives us a plan for all eternity. I mean, listen, it gives us a plan for all of eternity. Not like, well, what are we going to be doing for the next week? It's in there. What am I going to be doing for today? It's in there. Next month? Next year? Right? Down the road, it's all in there. Hey, what's going to happen after I die? In there. What's going to happen the next 1,000 years after that? Oh, it's there. What's after that? Well, there's a little bit of it there. Right? I'm just saying this book has what God gave us is the foreseeable future way beyond the foreseeable. It's all in there. It's all for us. Look at verse 10. He says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So how much effort, how much pursuit and desire do we have to gain gold? Now, we don't really talk about getting gold. I'm going to go earn some gold today. You ever said that? That'd be weird, unless you're a panhandler. You know. I'm going to go get me some gold. No, we don't say gold because today we have our gold is turned into credits. We don't really have paper money either. It's all credits, and you know we turn anyway. Money, right? How much effort? Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. Don't miss this afternoon. Now, I want you to grab this because I think it's the rest of what we're talking about, what God has for us. How much effort and how much pursuit and how much desire do we have towards gaining money? Many a people will move their families away from their homes in pursuit of money. Others will separate from their loved ones for long periods of time in pursuit of more money. Some will forsake friends, even comforts, making great sacrifices in pursuit of money. This psalm here, Psalm 19, is written by King David. He's referred to as the man after God's own heart. It's a song. Right? You understand that? It's a song. We look at the beginning of chapter 19, right before we get to verse 1. It says, to the chief, what? Musician. A psalm or a song of David. This is a song. It's a time of rejoicing. Right? A praise and a worship to God. He's talking about God. The heavens declare the glory of God. He's singing about this. This is a song written. He said he wrote the lyrics and he gave it to a musician to put in words. And it's an exciting thing. What King David understood, what he learned through his life experiences in living, failing, repenting, and serving the Lord, was how precious it is to not only see the handiwork of God in this world, but also the fact that he could possess his words. So King David said, it's what a wonderful thing it is that we could see what God has done, but also what he's given us. What King David wanted to sing about is how much more precious it is to desire God's word than it is to even pursue gold, yea, than much fine gold. I like money. Y'all like money? You like money? I like money. You know why? Because people want it. Every time we put in a Walmart order, because we don't go there very often, but when we put in a Walmart order, they want money every single time. And so I like to have money to pay Walmart so I can have groceries. The gas station, they want money. You know, the people rent, they want more, whatever. Everybody wants money. So I like to have money, and we need money. And God doesn't say that we shouldn't work. In fact, it says a man that don't work shouldn't eat. So it's not a thing of saying that we're not to, you know, I hate money. No, that's, come on, this don't be ridiculous. I hate money. I just don't want anything to do with it. Well, okay, then you're going to be a beggar. That's the other option. So, but what King David was dealing with here is how much more precious it is to pursue his word. Much more. even than the sweetest of all nature. And at that time, you got to think about what was nature's sugar then. You say, well, sugar cane. We've done so much stuff, sugar cane, but the sweetness of that time and that period, and almost all it was honey. Nothing was sweeter than honey. Honey's still sweet. You know what I like about honey? I like honey. I just like honey. I think it's sweet. It's good. What I like about honey is they can't really figure out how it works. How does a bee go and eat some pollen and then it goes and uneats it? And then we eat it. How does that work? They can't figure it out. You know what they do? They try to get syrup and make stuff, and they try to make imitation. But I love that all the sciencey scientists can't make what God makes. And it's the sweetest of all. He said, no, do y'all like sweet stuff? Come on. I watched y'all back there with that dessert table. All right, don't you? Yeah, a little bit. No, I seen y'all have some slabs. I'm just saying, we like, y'all tore up them donuts at Sunday school, right? We like the sweet. You know why we like sweet? Because it caused our body to feel good. It's like, no, it doesn't work. It does. Why do you think we all have problems with sugar? Because we like it, because it makes us, you know, right? Here's what he's saying. By the way, we find about eating honey a lot in the Bible. It's the land flowing with milk and, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. So don't say, well, I shouldn't ever eat honey, or I shouldn't ever eat sweets. Probably should eat less. Amen. But it's the point is this, we do pursue gold and money and those, and we do pursue that which tastes good and feels good to us. But he said, listen, more so, listen, even the sweetest, his desire, what King David was saying was his desire for God's word was even more. That was more important to him. But what made it so desirable? Why was it? Because money was really great because it got the things that you want. Honey was good because, you know, it tastes good, feels good, and all these kind of things. So what made these things so much, what made the word of God much more desirable? Which takes us to point number 5. It is our protection in this life. Look at verse 11 now. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. We're talking about by his words, his statutes, his law, these kind of things. By them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This wonderful book warns us. Warns us. Can I tell you today, you and I need to be warned of the dangers that are in this world. We need to be warned of it. This world is full of trouble, even to the point of our own destruction. Yes? Oh, yeah. You don't have to look very far to see the misery that most of this world lives in as they navigate this place on their own. We have never lived in a society that has so much depression pills, anxiety, therapy, all these things. It's so overwhelming in our society. I'm telling you, folks, our world is, we need to be warned of all the dangers and trials. The greatest thing today, and I say the greatest thing, but one of the most common things is how people's feelings are hurt. People say, I just can't. You know, there's even a thing, I don't know if it actually happened, they talked about it, and some said that you could take a time out in basic training. In basic training, they'd say, I need a time out. I'm just, too much anxiety, I need a time out. And I don't know if they ever followed that. I knew they talked about that. I don't know. I think you'd get a surprise at night if you did that. I don't know, but maybe they did. We're in a don't ask, don't tell. Anyway, so I'm just saying, folks, the world is full of, we're living in a world that's full of challenges, difficulties, full of people trying to navigate this world on their own and wondering why it doesn't work. By the way, we've all been there. We've all been there, trying to navigate this world on our own and wondering why. Why do I keep hitting my head up against the wall? Why is it everything I try to do comes to naught? Why do I keep having the same problems, going down the same road and seeing the same destruction? Why? And it's so frustrating. And God says, hey, remember I told you some things? You're like, no, it can't be that. Because I believe in God. I've seen the stars and stuff. I believe God. Yeah? Right? So God said, I need to give you some specifics. And I got to warn you that this world, you're not going to make it on your own. You're just not. You're like, no, I can survive. Ah, oh, man. Our prisons are full of people that try to survive. Keeping God's word comes with great reward. And a huge part of that reward, can I tell you this, is what we miss out on. Some of the greatest rewards in keeping the Word of God is the trouble that we miss out on because we don't find ourselves into that kind of life. You say, maybe you're here this afternoon and you're like, you know, I'm already knee deep in it. I'm already knee deep in the world and in the trouble of this world. What do I do now? Well, you just give up. Too late, right? Too late. You've gone too far. It's over with. No. Wouldn't that be terrible if we made mistakes and we're done for? But you know what this word does? It warns us and it gives us instruction how to get back out of that. You say, how do we get back out of that? Do you have a 12-step plan on that? No, it's a little bit more involved than that. And yet it's much simpler. It's the Lord says, you know, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Ah, wow. So God's way will, it's almost like this. It's almost like he'll take us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on a solid rock. You're like, no, that's for somebody that's already in the middle of it. You're knee deep in it. God said, I'm going to take you up out of that and set you on something solid. I can pull you out of it. God said, but listen, you got to come unto me. God said, I've got a plan for you. Now, if you'll follow the plan will work in your life. I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing else. Nothing else that's going to work like that. There's so much more. There's so much more than we could even imagine. Look at verse 12 again. He says, who can understand his errors? This King David saying this, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Neither you or I have the capacity to figure this thing out on our own. I'm telling you, folks, we're not going to just figure it out. The best effort that you and I are going to give is going to come short. And not only that, we're going to spend a lot of time. Can I say this? We'll spend a lot of time pursuing that which is not going to accomplish what we want it to accomplish. And then we're going to get frustrated. And you know what we do? It's kind of like quicksand. We wiggle around trying to figure it out on our own until we're neck deep. Like, when is it too late? Well, there is a point. There is a point that it gets too late. And it's not when you're neck deep. It's when you're dead. If you're not dead here this morning, this afternoon, if you're not dead, you still have an opportunity. Amen? Is anybody here not dead? Yeah, I think we're all not dead. So, if you're here, we still have an opportunity. Don't listen. Whew, he's there. Listen, we can't do it on our own, but he's got to wait. Now, we will not just figure it out, though. We will not just be okay. Let me help you. No, I'll be okay, right? Yeah, if people say that. If you said that, you've said that, maybe. No, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to figure it out, right? I can't tell you how many people said, Pastor, I'm going to figure it out. And it was probably about the last time I seen them. How many said, I'm going to figure it out. And then their life ended in divorce and ended up in shipwreck. The children running and fleeing and rebelling and all kinds of things and life. And next thing you know, and I get a letter from them in prison. He says, that stuff happened? Oh, I'm telling you. The Word of God warns us that we can't get it on our own. It's too much for us. Verse 13 again, he says, keep back thy servant. He's talking about himself. Also, from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. You know, the Word of God gives us liberty. Do you like imprisonment, or do you like liberty? Do you like to do what you want to do, or do you want to be told when to go to the bathroom? When to take a shower? When you eat and what you eat? Hayden, you wouldn't make it in prison, buddy. Don't go there. They tell you what to eat. You ain't got no choice. There ain't no chicken nuggets there. Right? You know what I'm saying? And you're like, nah, where's the good stuff? Like, this is it. It comes like in a scoop. And you can't, I'm just kidding. I don't know what it's actually probably pretty nice stuff nowadays. But I'm just saying, my point is to be a little funny there, but is this, the Word of God, following the Word of God, he says, and I shall be, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I'm telling you, following the Word of God gives us liberty. It frees us from the burden and bondage this world would cast upon us. Don't you hate living in shame? I hate shame. I hate when I've done something wrong, and I know I've done something wrong, and other people know I did something wrong, and they know I know that they know. You know what I'm saying? I'm making it a little bit funny, but you know that feeling. And you hardly want to pick your head up. You want to just kind of... And don't you kind of feel like you need to have a posture of shame when you feel shame? You're like... You want to almost do like, yeah, I was like a little sad puppy dog, you know? But it doesn't fix it, does it? How many people have wasted their life desiring and chasing after gold instead of after God? The world's very first billionaire is a fellow by the name of, if some of y'all have heard his name, J.D. Rockefeller. And he's mentioned to have this reflection at the end of his life. He said that he had surprisingly few truly happy or good days. Some versions of the story say that when asked about the happiest days of his life, Rockefeller mentioned only a handful. The day he got married, the birth of his children, and maybe some business milestone. He reportedly recognized that while everyone envied his fortune, much of his life was consumed with stress, illness. It is well documented that he suffered from digestive problems and alopecia from stress and the burdens of wealth and power. Though I'm not certain of the exact quote, I did a little research, couldn't find really, but his stress-related health issues are well documented. It is recorded in an article entitled The Loneliness of J.D. Rockefeller that he said to a Bible class he did in 1905, I know of nothing more despicable and pathetic than a man who devotes all the hours of the waking day to the making of money for money's sake. I don't know, but I find it a bit interesting that the world's first billionaire found himself to have wasted his life and really looked at his own situation with great regret. It's too bad that some of the greatest wisdom of men comes from behind some great mistakes and even a wasted life. King David ended this psalm with verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said this. He said, I've chased gold. I've chased honey. I want to now desire your word. He said this, I've spent enough time chasing these other things. I want what comes out of my mouth. I want the meditation of my heart. I want it to be different now. I want my life to be changed. Folks, I'm telling you this afternoon, if we get our mind wrapped around this, is to do an examination. is to look into our own heart and our own life. He said in verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from the secret. Then keep back thy servant also. He said, God, you need to help me because I'm not going to figure this out on my own. You know what he's saying right here, folks? He's saying, I can't figure this out. God, I need you to reveal to me that I've put some things in my life in the wrong priority. And he finally realized in the end of verse 14 what he said. He said, this is where we will find that which is acceptable to God. That's where he's going to find it. So two questions for the invitation today and we're done. Two questions. We're finished. Right? The Baptist wake-up call. Right? Two questions, we're done. Number one, what is the desire in your life that controls you? What is it that you're pursuing? Think on that for a moment this afternoon. What is it that you're pursuing with your life? And once you've kind of answered that, the second question, what would others answer for you when they observe your life? Father, I do pray that you would help us today, Lord, that Lord, this world has so much to offer. And yet, Lord, we find that it's full of dangers, full of heartache and heartbreak and trouble. So, Lord, I pray that you would, maybe tonight, this afternoon, this time of invitation, you would, Lord, maybe first, Lord, you would give us a willingness to examine our own hearts. Really a willingness to say, God, search me, try me. I cannot know the errors of my own way. Would you show me, keep me from those things? Lord, maybe this afternoon, Lord, maybe some of us here have realized that we've put our priorities in the wrong places. And Lord, we've let other things surpass you. Or maybe even we'd think about, what would others think about my life? I pray that you'd have your will and way now in this invitation. In Jesus' name.